Hello and welcome to another reflection from Stretton Vale Baptist Church. And we're continuing in our series of Loving Like Jesus Does, looking at the Gospel of John. And we're looking this week at John chapter 2, verses 13 to 25. And in this passage, we find Jesus filled with righteous anger at the disrespect and injustice in the situation he sees around him. Often when we picture Jesus, we think of him healing the sick, reaching out a hand to the helpless, showing compassion to the lost. But we rarely picture Jesus as angry. But in this passage, he is angry. And I would imagine that for those who witnessed it, it was probably pretty scary. So let's just read the passage. So John chapter 2, starting at verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days." But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. So, Jesus was angry. But why? Why was he angry? What about the situation made Jesus burn with zeal? Well, I want to take you inside the mind of a God-fearing Gentile as he came to worship God in the temple. It's almost time for the Passover again, and to honour God, I need to travel to the temple so I can worship him and pray to him there. I always feel such mixed feelings when I go to the temple. On the one hand, I love God and I love being in his presence at the temple. Even though I'm only allowed to go into the outer courts, it is still amazing to know that God is with me and I'm able to worship him there. But on the other hand, I find it really difficult to worship at the temple. It is so noisy and crowded. Because I am not a Jew and only a God-fearing Gentile, I can only go as far as the outer courts. I'm not allowed to step further into the place. But that would be fine if the outer courts were kept clear and prepared for worship. But no, instead it is like a marketplace. In fact, that is exactly what it is, a marketplace, a noisy, crowded, smelly marketplace. The noise levels can be unbearable at times. There's the noise of the animals, the sheep bleating, the cows mooing, and the doves squawking. Oh, they make such a racket. And then added to that is the noise of people selling the animals and those exchanging money. Of course, they can't do their business quietly. Oh no. They have to raise their voices to be heard over the din of the animals. And they also have to shout about their rates and the offers for the day. And then there are the other worshippers. And at times like Passover, when there are so many people who stream into the temple from all over the place, needing to buy animals and exchange their money, it becomes so loud. They come in their hundreds and thousands, all talking and yelling, perhaps moaning and tired from the journey or excited about the Passover. The noise is horrible, and it interrupts my ability to pray and to listen to God. Who can hear from God in that horrible din? And that's even if I can find a space to stand and pray. With the vast crowd, I am constantly being pushed and shoved out of the way. And sometimes it gets so bad that I end up being pushed to the floor and stamped upon. Why? Why is it so always so difficult for us Gentiles to meet with God? It's almost like we're being deliberately excluded, like those in charge don't want us to know God. I hate it. It's so unfair. All I want to do is worship God. I've been told stories from my family of when it wasn't like this, long ago, when Gentiles like me were welcomed to worship in the temple. I wish it was like that again. What is going on? There is suddenly a man shouting so loudly it can be heard above all the noise, and he sounds furious. Get out of here! Stop turning my father's house into a market! He seems to be yelling exactly what I have been thinking, but what good is this going to do? Surely they aren't going to listen. But now he's made a whip out of cords and is herding the animals out of the temple. People are nearly crushing each other, trying to get out of the way. I'm glad I'm not standing any closer. Oh, careful! Don't get crushed! Oh, gosh, that was close. The cows almost ran someone over. But the man whipped the cords again and the cow changed direction at the last minute. This is actually pretty scary. And suddenly there are coins flying everywhere. He's turned the tables over. The money changers are scrabbling around on the floor, trying to gather up all the money. It's satisfying to see them as the money-grabbing people that we all know they are. Gosh, it's chaos. People are screaming, and although most of the animals have left by now, it's still madness. And then, as suddenly as it all started, it stops again. And it is still silent, almost as if everything has been frozen. It feels like no one even dares to breathe. Ah, finally someone breaks the silence. One brave, or perhaps foolish, Jew steps forward. What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Can't they feel it? That feeling of absolute authority that this man seems to carry. There's a weight in his stare that speaks of power and authority. But it seems like some can't see it. Oh, there's a powerful presence in the room. Almost as if God himself is standing there. I can feel goosebumps rising up in my arms. I cannot help but feel that this man is responsible for that feeling. But that's ridiculous, right? So the outer court were where the money changers and animal sellers had set up their stalls. And this space in the temple grounds was supposed to be a place where Gentiles went to encounter God and to worship him. However, as we saw from the monologue I gave of that Gentile's thoughts, This would have been made impossible by the crowds, by the noise and the atmosphere that was created that resembled more like a marketplace than a place to worship. So if you can cast your mind back far enough to a time before COVID, which seems such a long time now, but can you remember being in a busy, noisy marketplace? Or perhaps being in the centre of London at the busiest time of day? And now imagine trying to pray and trying to hear from God amidst all the crowds and the noise and the hustle and the bustle. This is what it would have felt like for the Gentiles. And so Jesus was justifiably angry that people were being excluded from connecting with God. Jesus knew the invitation to worship God was open to anyone who believed. And yet people had put blockades in the way. This was a serious act of injustice and discrimination against the Gentiles. And Jesus was furious about it. God gets angry when he sees injustice, discrimination, prejudice. He cares so deeply for us, and so is angry when people are treated badly. Now, the topic of injustice and discrimination has been highlighted in quite a major way over the last year or so, with the protests about George Floyd's death and the Black Lives Matter movement, and the protest and vigil for the death of Sarah Everard, to name just two causes that show the discrimination in the world. Jesus was moved to action when he saw the injustice around him. But what about us? Do we act to fight against the injustice we see around us? Or do we just pay lip service? Jesus didn't just tell the money lenders and money exchangers and animal sellers to get out of the temple. He acted to move them out. How might we act to fight against injustice? We live in a world that unfortunately has a lot of pain and injustice in it. Can we allow ourselves to be consumed by that zeal that Jesus was consumed by? But be prepared, because if we do stand against injustice, those who benefit from the injustice might question and oppose us. The Jews in the temple demanded to know what authority Jesus had to chase out the money changers and animal sellers. Now, of course, Jesus' authority was the authority of God himself, the highest possible authority. But guess what? We also have the authority of God through the Holy Spirit. We also are given the power and authority of God Almighty, the God of the universe, to fight against injustice. The Holy Spirit prompts, and then he empowers us to act for justice in his name. So I want to challenge you this week. How can you show love to others by standing up against injustice? How can you be the one to lift your voice and stand for those who are being oppressed? So let's just pray. God of justice, you care about the world and you are angered by the discrimination, the prejudice, the injustice, the hurt. And Lord, I pray that you would embolden us to stand against all such forms of injustice, that we would be empowered by your Holy Spirit, acting upon your authority to stand against those situations of darkness in our world. And Lord, encourage us as we live out our lives this week to keep our eyes peeled for anything that is unfair or unjust, and to do what we can to make a difference. Thank you, Lord. Amen.